Good evening and welcome to Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. This year, our nation recognizes the 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act, and there are some special events next week in Columbia and Jefferson City as part of the celebration. Tonight, we preview those events and talk about the ADA, its history and meaning in this day and age, with Chuck Graham, who's been a part of advocacy for the disabled since the days before the ADA and now works with the Great Plains ADA Project here in Columbia. We'll talk about what the Americans with Disabilities Act has meant for people with all kinds of disabilities and what still needs to be done to achieve opportunity and equality for all Americans. Chuck Graham, our guest tonight, Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. Well, hi, and welcome to Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. I'm Darren Helwedge. We're going to visit with Chuck Graham about the anniversary of the ADA and the ADA Legacy Project, which is coming to Columbia and Jefferson City next week in just a moment. First, though, we've been telling you that through this month we would be taking you to different colleges and universities, and we will continue to do that next week on our show, taking a trip to Truman State University in Kirksville. But we did want to let you know we haven't forgotten about that. It's just spring break and not a lot of people on campus, and so we'll take a week off from that series. We'll start it up next week with that visit to Truman, and the week after we'll wrap it up with Columbia College. In the meantime, though, here's my visit with Chuck Graham on KBIA's Thinking Out Loud. It's Thinking Out Loud from KBIA. The ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act, turning 25 this year, this summer, in fact, and leading up to that anniversary in July, the ADA Legacy Tour is going around the nation, raising awareness, building excitement for this anniversary. The Legacy Project bus is coming to Mid-Missouri next week. There will be events, several events here in Columbia on Monday and Tuesday in Jefferson City. And our guest to tell us about some of these events and look back over 25 years of the ADA is Chuck Graham. He's been on the show before, former state representative and senator, and now working with the Great Plains ADA Project as the associate director. And Chuck, welcome. Thanks for coming to talk to us today.
Darren, always great to talk to you, my friend.
Let's talk about the Legacy Project. And I read about this. There are three goals: preserving the history of the disabilities rights movement, celebrating milestones, educating the public, and future advocates. So we've got three different areas to talk about. And I wanted to start anyway, even before I read that, with the first, because I think this is going to be it's an interesting story. Talk about how the ADA came to be 25 years ago, because you were involved with this when it was all happening, as we were discussing before, at a very, very young age, but you were involved with it.
Yep, the National Council on Disability, which actually at the time was called the National Council on the Handicapped, developed a report in 1986 called Towards Independence, and they laid out some policy goals for the government. My friend Lex Frieden was the chair of that at the time, and they had some policy goals that they developed and were asking Congress to take these on so that we could do a better job of finding employment opportunities for people with disabilities. And so he had an appointment scheduled in 1986 with President Reagan to present the report. He was at the White House in January, and then the space shuttle blew up.
Oh, yeah.
And they came in and said, Dr. Frieden, we're afraid the president's not going to be able to meet with you. And he's like, why not? And, of course, they explained that the Challenger had blown up, and, of course, he completely understood that he couldn't take the meeting, but Vice President Bush decided to take the meeting, and they had a lot in common. They were both from Texas. President Bush had an uncle with a disability, and, of course, he also has Crohn's disease. Mm-hmm. And so he had seen the struggles that his uncle had in just going to basic places of public accommodation, restaurants, churches, businesses, and said, look, you know, they don't let me do much around here right now, but if I'm ever president, I'm interested in working with you on it. And lo and behold, he becomes president. They introduce it into Congress in 1987 and again in 1988. And it passed in 1990 and was signed by President Bush, 41, on July 26th of 1990.
Interesting. And there is a little bit of a parallel. We're talking a lot about some of the history of the civil rights movement and some of the anniversaries that are coming along this year, and the big names we hear a lot. When we talk about this movement, when we talk about disability rights, we talk about ADA, you mentioned a couple of them, but talk to me about some of the big names, some of the historical heroes of this movement that people ought to know about.
The largest one would be Justin Dart. Justin Dart was also from Texas, a man that was kind of bigger than life. He had his own wealth. His family had started the Walgreens drug stores. And he traveled to all 50 states twice to gather the stories of all the Americans with disabilities, ask them to submit them to Congress, and just tell them what type of discrimination they faced on a daily basis, whether that was being able to park, whether that was being able to go down a sidewalk, whether that was being able to go to school or get a job, and just tell Congress about all the actions on a daily basis that affected them. So they gathered all this tremendous amount of information and built really a comprehensive cross-disability national movement that had never happened before. Within the disability community, you'll see people focus on things that are related to their own disabilities. People with spinal cord injuries will work on things that are important to them, or spinal cord injury research. And a lot of it's research-based. It's more focused on curing things or fixing things, as opposed to looking at the fixed environment that exists and saying, what can we do to accommodate people as they are, instead of just trying to look at us as patients who need to be healed?
Yeah, yeah.
And all of this evidence was presented to Congress, and it will sound very old and historic, but it was very bipartisan. I think there were only 6 votes in the U.S. Senate against the ADA. And we had sponsors on both the Republican and Democratic sides of the aisle. And I don't think you could get anything like it done today.
That's too bad, isn't it? Because there really was a lot of, when it first got started, Republican senator, Democratic representative working together. Others kind of stepped in along the way as it got passed. We're talking with Chuck Graham with the ADA Project here in Columbia. Again, it's going to be the 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act Legacy Project bus coming to Mid-Missouri next week. And Chuck, the second goal of this Legacy Project is celebrating milestones. And I guess the way to kind of get us into a conversation about how ADA has evolved over these 25 years. We did a show, folks might remember last year, about Title IX, and we talked about how there's an idea when you pass a law like this, and then there's the reality of how it gets enforced, how it gets seen by people. How has ADA changed over the last 25 years, and how does it turn out to be different than what the basic idea was at the time?
Well, the original idea was to focus on employment. And we still have a lot of work to do in that area. When the ADA passed, the unemployment rate for people with disabilities was over 70%, and it continues to be over 70%. I think the main reason for that has been the lack of an ability to buy health insurance when you go to work for a small business. If 80% of America is employed by small businesses, and you have to fill out an individual policy, and you're going to get denied that for your disability, you're going to continue to stay on the system and use public insurance. Mm-hmm. The ACA, the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, whatever you'd like to call it, I think that's going to be a game changer, because I can actually go to work for somebody besides a large corporation or a governmental entity. I could start my own small business, and I can't be denied coverage because I have a pre-existing condition. I don't have lifetime caps anymore. And those two things were really what prevented a lot of people with disabilities from being able to get jobs and going into the employment arena. So I think we're going to make a lot of progress on that. I think we've made a ton of progress in terms of the physical accessibility of places. You have an expectation when you go to the restaurant that you can get in. You have an expectation that you're going to be able to use the restrooms. It's changed a lot. I remember my friend Jim Tusher, who passed away not too long ago, that was a public policy coordinator for Paraquat in St. Louis. He used to go lobby the cab Capitol, and you know, he uses a wheelchair also, and there wasn't a bathroom at the Capitol that he could use, so he drove home every day, and he went to the McDonald's in Kingdom City to go to the bathroom, because that was the only bathroom that he could go to at the time. That's obviously tremendously different today, and you know, you see, you have an expectation that you're going to have a curb cut at the end of a curb. You have an expectation that every bus is going to have a lift. Those things weren't available 25 years ago. So we've made a lot of progress in those areas.
And then the third part of the legacy project, educating the public, future advocates. Obviously, in your work with the ADA Project, groups like Services for Independent Living, Alternative Community Therapy here in Columbia, which I'm involved in, a lot of other organizations here in Boone County and throughout the state. Educating the public, future advocates, though. Talk about that part of this and how that works.
Well, it's important for everybody to understand and know their rights, especially for kids with disabilities that are growing up and going through the public school system. Oftentimes, they and their parents get so involved in just fighting for their rights to be able to go to school and to be able to be accommodated in their classrooms that they don't know their rights when they get out into the big world. And so it's important that they understand that the ADA is there to provide protection. And the ADA is there for all of us. I think people think it's just for folks like myself that are in wheelchairs. But it protects anybody with a disability, anybody who's regarded as having a disability, or somebody who had a history of having a disability. So any American can be protected by the ADA if somebody's discriminating against them because they may have a disability. I think the people who really need a lot of the protection are people with invisible disabilities. What I have found is that people understand my circumstance. They understand I'll need a ramp to be able to get into a building, a doorway wide enough, a restroom I can use. I think people understand things that they can measure and they can see. Mm-hmm. But they don't always understand what the needs are of somebody with an individual, with an invisible disability, like autism, mental illness, epilepsy. And what I find in my work is that a lot more discrimination happens to those individuals because people don't understand or see what accommodation that they may need to be able to be successful in the work environment, for example.
And there was a lunch and learn here last month in town where we talked some about this that I was able to sit in on. And one of the things they mentioned is that a lot of times people don't even think of, or for whatever reason, don't mention it when they're applying for a job that they've got this certain disability, and that there are times when the employer's going to want to know.
Yeah, and that's changed. And that this is going to be something that's going to take a lot of time to adjust to. Most people who advise individuals with disabilities that are going in the job market tell them not to disclose their disability unless they need an accommodation, because there's no reason for it, and you just open yourself up to discrimination from people who just don't understand that particular disability. There's a new change for federal contractors under Section 503 of the Rehabilitation Act, which now says that federal contractors have to employ 7% of people with disabilities in their workforce. So we have to make up 7%. Well, if we're not disclosing that, then they can't count that in the number. So now they have to figure out, okay, how do we encourage our employees with disabilities to tell us about their disability when they've been coached not to do so? So now it's gone from being a negative to a net positive for people with federal contracts. So that this is going to be a really interesting transition area as people with disabilities. That may be a beneficial thing for a federal contractor to hire somebody.
And it's important to note, given where we are, that that's not just meaning being hired by the federal government, but people who have contracts with the federal government, including the University of Missouri, BJC, the state government, et cetera, et cetera. Most of the major employers around here.
Right, and they can't compel us. So, you know, I'm a university employee. I got an email from HR asking me if I would like to disclose. You know, I did because I think that that's a good thing to do. Obviously, they already know I have one. So it's I'm not hiding anything here. But, I only got one email on that. So, you know, HR is probably going to have to do more than just send out one email to be able to get people more comfortable with disclosing and understanding that they're not asking to be able to have a negative consequence towards you, but it's actually a positive thing to show how many people with disabilities that they are employing.
This is probably a good point as we get into some of this conversation, and people are going to maybe have questions to maybe jump off for just a second. Our guest is Chuck Graham. He is the associate director of the Great Plains ADA Project, and they are part of the University of Missouri. If somebody's listening to this, and maybe they're an employer that has federal contracts, maybe they work here at the university, and as we said, have a disability that workers aren't aware of, what's a good way to get in touch with you guys and maybe just find some more information or find out who they need to talk to?
Yeah, they can call us at 1-800-949-4232. That's 1-800-949-4232, and we'd be more than happy to talk to them about it.
Chuck Graham, our guest, as we're talking about the ADA Legacy Project going to be coming through Columbia next week. As we get into conversation about the ADA, how it's evolved over the years, there was a publication that came out in association with the 25th anniversary. They kind of had some interesting stuff. And one of the things I read that I found really fascinating is a conversation about how this all works in other countries. The ADA obviously applies to Americans and to the United States, but talk about how disability rights has evolved in other countries and how the U.S. maybe kind of compares with other places.
Well, we really are leading the world. The ADA is the gold standard. You'll hear John Kerry say that. You'll hear Bob Dole tell you that. We've made more progress than most countries around the world. Part of the reason we're able to do that is we're younger and a newer country. You know, if you go into Greece and you start trying to make some of the public accommodations that we've made here, it's going to be a lot more difficult than being able to change something in Salina, Kansas.
Yeah, probably more buildings on what would be the Greek equivalent of the National Register of Historic Places.
Yeah, the entire country is on the National Register of Historic Places. So they're going to have some more difficulties. But we've been trying to export the idea of the ADA. And when President George W. Bush was in office, he got the Senate to pass a treaty and send it to the United Nations and ask other countries to sign on to it. And it's called the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. And it basically takes the tenets of the ADA and asks other countries to sign on to the idea of that, so that if you traveled to Russia or you traveled to China, that they would begin taking some of those ideas and trying to incorporate similar civil rights around the world. Mm-hmm. And it's been passed by ratified by more than 140 countries, including Syria, Iran, and Russia. Yet when it came back for ratification by our U.S. Senate, it got voted down, which is embarrassing. It's just frankly unbelievable, because this was our idea.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of misinformation spread by some individuals saying that it would impact homeschooling and put the United Nations in charge of it, and that's just ridiculous. It has nothing to do with that. But I think probably the saddest moment was when Senator Dole was on the floor along with his wife, another Senator Dole,
yes,
asking to get the votes to get the 67 that they needed to ratify the CRPD, that even the two senators from Kansas voted no after telling Senator Dole that they wouldn't. And so it's something that we've tried to get back before the U.S. Senate, but right now with the makeup of it, I'm not sure that we'll get that ratified in the next 2 years.
Chuck Graham, our guest with the Great Plains ADA Project. By the way, we're talking about the bus coming through next week and the Americans with Disability Act Legacy Project. A lot of celebration that's going to be going on throughout the spring. There will be big events in Washington, D.C. in July with the official 25th anniversary happening there, and also local events in July as well. And if you want to follow what's happening here in mid-Missouri and throughout the country with the ADA Project, adalegacy.com is a website that has information about the bus tour and about a lot of other events that are going to be going on. It has a ton of information about the history of the Americans with Disabilities Act. If you're like me and you like to read big, long reports and find out more about the stuff you hear on the news. Chuck, let's talk a little bit about what's going to be happening next week, because there's going to be some neat events and a lot going on. Tell me about the bus and just kind of why this is going to be a cool thing for people to go check out.
Well, the bus tour has been going on for a year. They've been all over the nation, but they haven't been in the state of Missouri. So this is the only stop that they're making. They're going to be here in Columbia at the ARC on Monday, March 30th from 9 to 11:30. And then they'll be at Speaker Circle on the Columbia campus from 12:30 to 3:30. And then they'll be in Jefferson City the next day for Disability Lobby Day. We just kind of got lucky on landing those two things on the same day. And so they'll be at the state capitol on Tuesday, March 31st in Jeff City, right out in front on the South Lawn from 10 to 4. And it's really a lot, it's pretty much a photo opportunity for individuals to come out, take a photo with the bus, but we'll also have some exhibits on the history of the ADA. We'll have a lot of information for people about the Americans with Disabilities Act and their rights. And it's an opportunity for everybody to promote and celebrate the ADA. Sometimes disability rights take a back seat to other civil rights in terms of the public knowing about them.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see a lot of things this year on the 50th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act, the 50th anniversary of Selma. That makes the national press. That gets the president there. But the ADA is kind of a hidden civil rights law in a lot of ways. And so we're trying to promote it and get it out there and let people know how important it is to our country.
With some of these issues, not so much active opposition as just people not knowing what's out there and what needs to be done. On that topic, you mentioned the fact that there's going to be a Disability Rights Legislative Day on Tuesday, a week from tonight, over in Jefferson City. Talk a little bit about what's happening in the state of Missouri and some of the legislation that's out there that people need to be aware of if they are concerned about disability rights.
I think the largest issues that have been affecting people this session is the discussion around Medicaid expansion. Also, in terms of changing the asset limits for individuals that are on Medicaid, there's some legislation around that. Unfortunately, the health care that most people with disabilities still have is Medicaid because they're unemployed.
Right.
And there are some things in the Medicaid program that you can't buy on the open market. For example, if you were a quadriplegic and you needed personal care assistance to be able to get ready in the morning, to be able to go to work, and then be able to go to bed, and you need some help with toileting, bathing,
right,
dressing, cooking, those sorts of things. There's no health insurance plan you can go buy from your insurance agent that's going to cover that. And so that makes it very difficult for people like that to be able to go to work, because they've got to have a job that pays them enough money to be able to just hire somebody and pay them out of pocket for that.
And that's a pretty substantial cost. That's expensive.
Yeah, you're looking probably $20,000 a year.
Right.
So I actually know somebody here in town that through vocational rehabilitation, we as the taxpayers help pay for his education, pay for his master's degree, pay for his law degree. But a starting legal job here in mid-Missouri is $30,000 to $40,000. So there's...
You just spent half of that for the homemade.
Right, and so you know, he's not able to work. And so we have some policy things that we need to do more to incentivize people with disabilities to be able to go to work and get the assistance that they need.
The disabilities, the ADA Legacy Bus again. It's going to be in town here in Columbia Monday the 30th. They'll have the deal over at the ARC starting at 9 o'clock. The folks in the Chamber of Commerce will be out there with their gold jackets. They'll have a ribbon cutting, and there'll be a chance for you to check out the exhibits and talk with the people there on in the morning at the ARC from 9 to 11:30 again. And then they're going to head over here to campus from 12:30 to 3:30. You can see the exhibits, sign the ADA quilt. And as Chuck mentioned, they're going to have a big photo for everybody at 2 o'clock. So if you're planning to be there for a while, you can come by and check that out and make plans to make sure you're there at 2 o'clock this coming Tuesday. There'll also be a lecture in Holston Hall at 1 o'clock on the history of the ADA. I guess a little bit more of what we've been talking about here on tonight's show.
Yep, Amber Cheek, the new Mizzou ADA coordinator, will be giving that presentation here on campus.
All right, cool. And then on Tuesday, again, a week from today, at the State Capitol, the exhibits will be open at the Capitol from 10 until 4. Jefferson City Chamber of Commerce will do their thing with the ribbon cutting at 10:30, and the Legislative Day rally will start at 11 o'clock at the Rotunda. And again, if people are interested in getting plugged in with this through your group, talk about how they get in touch with y'all.
Well, they can call us at the Great Plains ADA Center. Our local number is 882-3600. Services for Independent Living and Heather Stewart have done an amazing job on promoting this and doing the work on this. And anybody's interested in transportation down to Jefferson City for the Disability Advocacy Day and to see the bus in Jeff City, they can call Services for Independent Living at 874-1646. And we'll also have the Jefferson City Chamber there on Tuesday in their red coats. They're very proud of the red coats.
Okay.
So, since you threw in the
gold. We've got the gold jackets in Columbia.
You threw in the gold jackets. I had to throw in the red jackets for the Jeff City Chamber because they're very proud of the red jackets.
Okay. Well, we want to make sure that we keep everybody happy in both cities. So glad that you got that there. And again, if you'd like to find out more about the bus tour and the events happening here in Columbia or a lot of other events throughout the course of this year, 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act, including the big stuff happening in July. There'll be events locally and, of course, the big celebration in Washington, D.C. You can find out all about that at the website adalegacy.com. Well, we will look forward to having the bus and the ADA Legacy Project in town. Again, it's March 30th and the 31st next Monday in Columbia, Tuesday in Jefferson City. Chuck Graham with the Great Plains ADA Project. Always wonderful to see you, man. Thank you a lot for the time.
You bet, Darren. Anytime.
And that is our show for this week, Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. Next week on the program, we're going to be in Kirksville as we continue our series on the colleges and universities of our region with a visit to Truman State University, the school's president, Dr. Troy Painow, among our guests. I know we have listeners in Kirksville and more than a few grads of the school here in Mid-Missouri as well. So show your bulldog pride and listen in next Tuesday evening as Truman State University is in the focus on Thinking Out Loud. You can find past Thinking Out Loud programs at our website, kbia.org. Just click on Programs for Thinking Out Loud, and you can follow Thinking Out Loud on Facebook and on Twitter. Now for tonight's guest, Chuck Graham, and our associate producer, Trevor Harris, I'm Darren Hellwedge. Have a great evening.